Let's just bow in one moment of prayer. Father, we pray now that you will bless your word, that you'll speak to my heart. And Lord, you'll speak to all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. I've been very exercised over this past, not only past year, but over the past number of years about a certain subject, folks. And, you know, this week I could get absolutely no peace until I prepared this message on the subject. And I want to say, first of all, that I'm not saying that this refers to any of us in this church or refers to this church here, but we all know things that have happened around us in our own countryside. I want us to look, friends, from the passage that we have read, and our text is found in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 12. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any of you fail of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you, whereby many are defiled. I want us to look at bitterness, a blight in the soul. I want us to look at this subject of bitterness. I wonder, friends, have you ever tasted anything bitter? I'm sure all of you, when you were wee, you ran about there to the hedges and you got one of those little things out of the thorn hedge. Was it a clue, we called it? And when you bit it, your mouth went all dry and bitter and you made all sorts of faces. And of course, the same thing can happen when you give somebody a lemon to bite out of. Do you ever bite a lemon? Boy, you pull faces would scare anybody. Your face is pulled and you go all bitter and your mouth goes bitter and you feel absolutely awful. And you can't wait to find a good sweet to suck or something sweet morsel to get rid of the horrible taste in your mouth. But you know, beloved, bitterness in the mouth is one thing, but bitterness in the heart is another. As bitterness in the mouth is easily remedied, bitterness in the heart can be more difficult to get rid of, especially if it's put its roots deep down into my heart or your heart. And I'm speaking to myself today. Bitterness is the devil's weapon that destroys individuals. Bitterness is the devil's weapon that destroys families. Bitterness is the devil's weapon that destroys church families. And I want to say this, dear friends, there is not a denomination in Ireland today or in the world that is immune from this cancer of the soul. No church on earth has not tasted its foul taste at one time or another. No believer has not been tempted when hurt by the actions of others to embrace this wicked sin. All of us need to be on guard, for many are the guises of bitterness that can come to us. I have known holiness churches, and I know a holiness church not very far away from here. I'm not going to say where, because I love the people. But at one stage, one group of people fell out with other group of people. One group of people changed all the locks in the church and had prayer meetings where the other group of people that should have been in the church weren't allowed in. And they had to bring the police in to pull the other ones out to let the other ones in. I remember many years ago hearing of a church in England, and it was Dennis Appleby in the Emmanuel Church in Birkenhead who preached this message. I was there and heard him. And he told of a church in England that decided they were going to have two buses at their Sunday school trip, but somebody decided they needed three. And as the elders of the church debated whether they need two or three buses, they started to get a bit heated. And as they got heated, things got really bad, and one elder thumped another elder. And then another person thumped another person. Before long, the congregation were fighting among themselves, and the police had to be called and had to separate the Lord's people. Now, you can hardly believe that. And folks, I want to say this to young people here and children today and to unconverted. I want to apologize that these things happen in the church. They shouldn't happen in the church, folks. And I mean that with all my heart. This should not happen. Something is seriously wrong when things like this happen. But that church was closed over the head of that, and it never, ever reopened again. And there are three things that I want us to look at today before God. And the first one is the cause of bitterness. Then we'll look at the results of bitterness for the individual and for the church. And then we'll look at the cure for bitterness of soul. But first of all, the cause of bitterness. Look, dear friends, at what it says in verse 15. We're going to that verse first. It says, looking diligently, looking carefully. Carefully construing, looking at it diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Friends, what does this mean, any man fail of the grace of God? It means we need to be on our guard always, lest a failure for love or for others is in our hearts. Notice that what he says here, the writer to the Hebrews, he says there's a failure of the grace of God. What is the grace of God? We were looking at it with the children. It is unmerited love that we do not deserve. And because of hurt that comes into our lives individually from some other believer or some other person, there can be a failure of the grace of God. Remember, dear friends, Jesus on the cross said to his enemies, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." Jesus said, "Love your enemies, do good to them that persecute you. Do good to them that persecute you." And there are different ways this can begin in the lives of believers. It can begin through a difference of opinion. And as I was studying this yesterday, the Lord brought it very clearly to my mind about Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 15. You remember, dear friends, what happened in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas loved each other. They were great friends. But listen to what it says here. "But Paul thought it not good to take him with him," that is John Mark, Barnabas' cousin, "who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." He had forsaken Paul and Barnabas. So Paul thought, "No, Barnabas, I'm not taking him. He's a failure." And then it says these words, and listen to this, "that nothing's new under the sun, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren in the grace of God." And so, friends, we see these two men, godly men, spiritual men, they had such a row, and I mean it was a real all-out row, and both of them went one way and the other one went the other way, and I'm sure as they went along, they were tempted to continue in the bitterness that they felt for one another over the subject of John Mark. But I want to say this, friends, they only fell out for a time. Later they were reconciled, but at that moment not one of them would give way. Not one of them would say, "I am wrong and you are right," and so they fell out. So there's absolutely nothing new under the sun. Does it sound familiar? This is the reason why I, as an evangelist, friends, never argue about doctrine with anyone. I remember going into the Tower Center one day. A man had lost his wife, and I said, "Dear brother, I'm so sorry about your wife, but isn't it wonderful that our God is our Abba Father?" And the minute I said that God was our Abba Father, he nearly went mad. He hit the face of me for daring to say that God was our Abba Father. That was his opinion, an opinion that he held very closely to himself. And no one dare say that God is our Abba Father, even though, beloved, we know that God is our Abba Father. "Whereby we cry," says Paul, "Abba Father." But he fell out with me almost over that. I met another person one day and they wanted to argue with me over doctrine. It might have been a Baptist friend or someone else or an Elam friend. They wanted to argue over the gifts and glossary and things like that. But you know, the Lord taught me something many years ago. And brothers and sisters, I want you to keep this in your mind if you want to keep peace with all men. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2 and 24. "The servant of the Lord must not argue or strive." The servant of the Lord must not argue. Now listen to that. "But be gentle unto all men and ready," or apt to teach, ready to teach. But he must not argue. So in my life, when people come to me and they want to argue about something, want to argue about the terribleness of the Presbyterian church or the goodness of their church or a doctrine that they hold very close to themselves, I don't argue with them. I just say to them simply, "Brother and sister, I am a servant of God and I will not argue. I will not strive with you." Yes, friends, it can be caused by a difference of opinion, but also bitterness can be caused through pride. When, listen to this, friends. In 3 John chapter 9 to 10, this is what it says. "I wrote on to the church, but Diophorus, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not." Here was a man in the church, and this man in the church, all he wanted to do was have the preeminence over everybody else. He loved himself, and he loved his position in the church, that he would not even receive Paul, God's apostle, who was born out of due time on the Damascus Road. He wouldn't have anything to do with him. And in verse 10, listen to what it says. "Not even content with that, he spoke out against the apostle with malicious words, and he wasn't content therewith. He doesn't receive his brother and forbids those that would, casting them out of the church." What a bitter man. And I have only one word to describe this man, and that is the word hypocrite. A man who has never been saved ever before. No, it doesn't know Christ. And there are many of his followers today, aren't there, friends, in denominations everywhere. If you don't agree with them and cross their T's and dot their I's the way they do, they want nothing else to do with you. They'll get mad with you about a point of doctrine and run you down and make fun of the church you belong to if you don't agree with it. If you don't dress in a certain way, you're not really a Christian. If you don't read a certain Bible, then you're not really a true Christian. Let us beware of this, friends. This is a bitterness that comes from pride. All of us are only sinners. There's never a day I wake and that I don't recognize the fact that I'm only a sinner and that I have a God that loves me and I have a Christ who is my advocate. All of us are sinners. All of us need Christ day by day. There is no church in this earth that is perfect. It can be caused, friends, through unforgiveness. And this is a sermon in itself. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 2, it says these words, "And forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." Matthew 6 and 12, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive others their debts." Matthew 18 verses 23 to 35, this is a story that Jesus told about forgiveness. You remember there was a man that owed the king money, his master money, and he couldn't pay him. The master was going to throw him into jail till he paid the last part. But the master brings him in and sees his tears. The man is ashamed to beg, and so the master forgives him the debt that is owed to him. And what does this servant do? This servant, he goes out, and he grabs his fellow servant by the throat, and he says, "You owe me money, and if you don't pay me that money, I'm going to fix you." And what does he do? He throws him into jail until he pays it. And when the master of the house hears this, he casts him into outer darkness. And Jesus said in verse 35, listen to this, verse 35, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father also do unto you if you from your heart do not forgive your brother his trespasses." Friends, this is desperately serious for the church. Desperately serious. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others their trespasses. When we pray that prayer, friends, let me ask a question. Am I telling lies and are you telling lies? As I forgive others their trespasses against me. They're sobering words. In Matthew 6, verses 14 to 16, "For if ye will forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you give not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, "Then came Peter and said unto him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times 7. Jesus said unto him, I say unto you, until 7 times 7. I can hear Jesus saying that in amazement. Peter, only until 7 times 7, Peter? No, Peter. No, Peter. Until 70 times 7. Oh, brothers and sisters, it is awful to have someone that is bitter against us and people who will not forgive us. No matter how often you have gone to that person and longed for their forgiveness, you know, Romans 12 and 18 says this, "As much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men." W.P. Nicholson said, I'm so glad that is in the Bible, because he had a lot of people didn't like him because of the way he got on. Yes, dear friends, let us love and forgive one another. Ephesians 4 and 26, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Forgive, and don't brood and don't be bitter over the sins of others, but freely forgive them. Have fervent charity among yourselves, because love covers a multitude of sin. The results of bitterness, very quickly, friends. The body of Christ on earth in bitterness is divided. Many are the tragic stories of churches which are no more because of bitterness. And I want to emphasize this fact, folks. I'm not just speaking of our denomination. There is not a denomination, Baptist, Brethren, Free Presbyterian, Church of Ireland, Independent, Methodist. You could go down every denomination, Elam, that has not problems with bitterness. That has not problems with bitterness. As I have said, friends, that can hold them with pride, can hold up their heads with pride and say, well, we're not guilty. We've never had any divisions like that. And I don't think there's any one of us here as believers today can say that we have never felt bitter because of something that has happened to us either. The Lord Jesus Christ loves the church. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. Jesus commanded the church that we might love one another, John 15 and 12, that ye love one another as I have loved you. John 13, 33 and 30, 34 and 35, love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when ye have love one for another. And remember, friends, the love we're speaking about is this love that the writer of the Hebrews says is we fail of this grace. Grace is love your brother and sister don't deserve. Oh, yes, they've said the words to offend you. They've said that thing to hurt you. They've done something on you that's really got really into you. But what does Jesus say? You've got to forgive them. You've got to love one another. You've got to show grace. Love that other person does not deserve. If we have bitterness against one another, the results are dire for the individual and the church. Because notice in verse 15 what it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Trouble you. I remember many years ago, I was greatly offended by what someone did to me and I got very bitter. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I felt there was iniquity in my heart and I felt my prayers were not been answered. And the psalmist said, Psalm 66 and 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that bitterness got to a point one day I got down before God and God says, Jonathan, go to your brother and be reconciled. And over 30 years ago, I went back to that man and I told that man that I had been bitter against him and I said, brother, will you forgive me? And he says he will. You'd have seen me jumping into the car and going down that road. I was as light as a feather. That brother and I have embraced one another in a loving embrace because his heart is united with mine in love. And you know, friends, let me say this. If there is that spiritual dryness in your heart because of bitterness, do you know why it is there? Because you have quenched the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, quench not the Spirit. When you don't love another Christian, what have you done? You have quenched the Spirit who has filled his heart, filled your heart with his love. Romans 5 and 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And when you do not love another brother, you have quenched the love of the Spirit in your own heart. And because there is no love of the Spirit in your heart, then thirdly, friends, there is lack of fruit. Notice in verse 15, do you see the word root of bitterness? Root. The root of bitterness will smother the fruit of the Spirit in the life. The bitter person will bear very little fruit or no fruit. He or she will be not obedient to Christ and therefore they will not abide in the way that they should. And if we're not abiding in Christ, if we're not one with Christ, then we're not going to bring forth fruit. Jesus said, John 15 and 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. If I'm abiding in Christ, my heart is filled with love for all men. If I'm not filled with love for all men, I am not abiding in Christ. Yes, there's spiritual dryness, there's lack of fruit, there's also guilt. There is guilt. Any sin brings forth guilt. And as I was thinking about this, the Spirit of God showed me again, David in Psalm 31 and verse 10, he says these words before he confessed his sin to God. For my life is spent with grief, my years with sighing, my strength fails because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. My bones are consumed. And in Psalm 32 and verse 1, he says, blessed is he whose sins are forgiven and whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. He's been forgiven. He has been restored. And oh, friends, if you have that spirit of bitterness today and you find that you're not having the peace of God in your heart that you should have, you find that the love you once had for other believers has almost dried up, you need to come back to God and ask God's forgiveness. The person who is bitter, dear friends, can also have condemnation. There are people, I believe, today that hold bitterness and are never willing to forgive either a minister or a fellow elder or a fellow member of a church. And they go on like that all the days of their life and they die like that. And friends, I fear greatly and I wonder, have they ever, ever touched the heart of Jesus Christ? Listen to these words, friends. 1 John 1, if you want to turn to this, 9 to 11. This is what he says. He that saith he's in his light and hateth his brothers in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brothers in darkness and walketh in darkness and know not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I love the brethren. My grandmother was brethren. And I love the brethren that live in this village here. And so do you, I know that. Because we love the brethren, our brothers, maybe better translated. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. He that loves not his brother abides in death. That's serious. And then one more quote, 1 John 4 and 20. Chapter 4 and verse 20. And this is what he says here. Listen to this. If any man say, I love brother and love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Yes, friends, there are these things happen to the individual. Spiritual dryness, lack of fruit, guilt, but also maybe condemnation. But then also, friends, I want to say this, that bitterness in the heart causes this, and it causes collective problems as well. The results are not only personal, but the results can spread in the church. And very seriously, friends, the whole church can be affected. Look at verse 15 again. Look indignant, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Many are defiled. The root of bitterness poisons the person spiritually, but also poisons the church. There's a bit of horticultural things going on here, and somebody sows a whole patch of beautiful strawberries, and everything looks well, and the fruit is growing, and suddenly little brambles begin to grow, or little buttercups. And so they intertwangle themselves in around the strawberry plants, and if you don't look at it and weed it, you're going to end up with no strawberries or very little strawberries. See, many be defiled. Bitterness is a root that when the person who's offended tells somebody else, and they tell somebody else, and they tell somebody else, before you know, you've got a war in your hands. My dear friends, this can spread from one plant to another. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians 5, 14 and 15. Now take heed to these words. The law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt love. That's a commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye are not consumed one of another. The Bible is something for everything. Factions start in the church and soon there is a split. Paul had to deal with this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 12 and 13. We'll not take time to read the verses, but you remember, one said, I am of Paul, another said, I am Apollos. What does Paul say about these that say, oh, I was saved through Paul, I'm better than you, I was saved through Apollos? He says, is Christ divided? Did Paul die for you, he says? Remember, beloved, here in Brookside, Song of Solomon 2 and 14, take us, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Think of James chapter 3 and verse 5. Look how great a matter a little fire kindleth. But lastly, friends, and I assure you very quickly, for time is gone, what is the cure for bitterness in the life? If Satan has done this to you or done it to somebody, you know, what is the cure for this? First of all, don't quench the Spirit when he convicts you of it. In fact, the best way is to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Galatians 5 and verse 15. Because remember, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. And the Holy Ghost is a gentle member of the Trinity, a gentle person. We do not want to hurt nor offend the Spirit through our bitterness or through our gossip about others. I want to say also, friends, we need to resist the devil and he will flee from you. If Satan is trying to make you bitter against a brother in this church, because you just don't agree with what they do or who they are, then let's remember this, friends. Resist this thought as from the devil. It will flee from you. And if it persists, draw nigh to God. Say, oh God, help me here. God, help me here. Please help me. Satan is trying to make me bitter. Run to Christ and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Resist him, friends, immediately. Seek, dear friends, as Romans 8 and 13, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. In other words, put to death these feelings of bitterness, these roots, and don't allow them to grow. Thirdly, friends, we need to love one another. 1 Peter 4 and 18, it says this, love each other. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 4 and 8 again, for love will cover a multitude of sin. Someone has said these words, love is a sword by which bitterness is killed in the heart. Paul, writing to the church in Romans 12 and 10, said, be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And remembering that we're not judges, we're Christ's children. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 1, judge that ye be not judged. Don't judge one another. Forgive one another. Ephesians chapter 4 and 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor with evil speaking or gossip be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be a humble servant of Christ, knowing that you and I are only sinners saved by grace, that our other brothers and sisters are equally as important as we are. And as they fail us, we have also failed others and failed ourselves and let God down. Paul says in Philippians 2, 3 and 4, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let us esteem others better than ourselves. If I look at my brother and treat him as better than myself, then I will look on not on my own things, but on the things of others. Here's the golden rule. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2 and verse 5. Remember again what Jesus said as he hung on that cross. Remember what those Roman soldiers had done to him and what the Jewish high priests had done to him, the Sanhedrin. They had whipped him and scourged him and crucified him, and Jesus hung on that cross. And in all his agony, and in all that they had done, and all the names that they called him, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Jesus cries out, oh, Father, forgive them, he says, for they know not what they do. And what does Peter say of Christ in 1 Peter 2 and 23? Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Jesus never gave tit for tat, you know. He never spoke out because somebody hurt him. He never done something to hurt them. Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to them that persecute you. I always remember, dear friends, so well the story of Corrie ten Boom, who was in Auschwitz. And you remember that her sister died in that awful place. And one day at a meeting in Denmark, she had finished speaking about how God had delivered her. And just standing, coming up the aisle, was one of the German guards with a big smile on his face and his hand out. Corrie ten Boom says, I felt hatred in my heart. Boy, she felt she wanted to give him what for. And he came up and he says, Herr Broom, he says, I am saved. Will you forgive me? And that hatred was very real. Can you imagine? Her own sister died there. She was persecuted there. She asked God for his grace and she put his hand out, her hand out. And he put his big rough hand into hers. And immediately, Satan's plans were defeated and her heart filled with pure Calvary love for her brother. Oh, yes. Yes, friends. And this is the last thing, and with this I close. Look what it says in verse 14. We're to try to seek to follow peace with all men. And the last thing is holiness of life. And without holiness, which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Holiness and peace with all men are together. The person that lives nearer to God and nearest to God will always love their brother and understand and love them no matter what they do. as my minister in Kells used to say, love you warts and all, and my daughter who had warts used to be raging at him. We love our brothers and sisters. We say you've sinned against me, but my love for you covers the multitude of sin. I want to leave you with a verse of the hymn, and with this I close. Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek.